and it's KVCR Arts Now on KVCR, arts and entertainment in our region, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. If you don't know the term yacht rock, quite simply, it's, for the most part, all your favorites from the 70s and 80s, songs you probably know all the words to, whether you meant to or not. One of the groups out there touring full-time in the world of yacht rock is Yachtly Crew. All dressed identically as ship captains, you may think it's going to be parody, and while some comedic elements will work their way in, the music and musicianship is quite serious. Spoke with lead singer Philly Ocean with the release of a new single and EP. Now with a full-length album just out, I'm speaking with guitarist and original member Thomas Gardner, or for the sake of this broadcast, Tommy Bowie. When I spoke with Philip Daniel, Philly Ocean, last year, I asked about the term the Titans of Yacht Rock, and this was in essence something to get people thinking that, I mean, there were some people actually thinking that you were a Motley Crue cover band.
Yeah, we get that a lot. We have a lot of people, they overthink it. We're like, are you doing Motley Crue songs in a yacht rock style? Or we're like, no, we're just, you know, we're just playing. It's a fun band name. You know, you got to name yourself something at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody has a band name. And the whole thing's silly, if you ask me. You have to have one name that encapsulates your whole career and everything. You know, it's like, that's why I like those number bands, you know, like bands like 311 or whatever. It's just like, you just have a number. There's no insinuation whatsoever about the music. I do like that. You can be whatever you want.
Ah, nice. Well, you know, that said, since yacht rock is pretty much the lighter side of the 70s and 80s pop rock, for the most part, have you ever taken a song like, say, War Pigs, okay, or, you know, and taking it down about 18 notches, add some tight harmony, there's Yachtly Crew. I mean,
you know, we haven't done that, but that has crossed my mind and would be a great idea, you know, take some songs that aren't yacht rock and do them in a yacht rock style. In general, we've kind of taken yacht rock songs and kind of rocked them a little bit harder than the original. So it'd be cool to kind of flip it around like that, you know, and take some other songs that aren't yacht rock and kind of do them in that vibe. I think that could be really successful.
Oh, totally fun. And I mean, the thing about yacht rock and what you guys do is you're playing things that you just know the audience is going to love. It's the songs that you know all the words to, whether or not you even tried to shut it out in middle school or high school or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it was there. It permeated you and it became fun stuff. Oh, yeah, gosh, I had a note at one point asking if you and the bass player were truly brothers because you ended up both with Bowie. I know now that you're not, but, you know, there's the beard thing, and of course with the whole outfits, there's a bit of a similarity. You guys were playing that up, any?
It kind of just happened. Like, the name thing kind of happened organically, where it was like, I would walk in the room and our drummer would be like, Tommy Boy, Tommy Boy. And then after a while, it was like the joke, oh, we're nautical, so Tommy Bowie. And we would laugh, and then it was like, oh, well, if I'm Tommy Bowie, then what's his name, you know? And then so it was like Pauly Shores and Stony Shores and our drummer's Sailor Hawkins, you know, and then our bass player is a fan of Howard Stern, so he's like, well, if you're Tommy Bowie, I'll be Baba Bowie.
Okay,
so I'll be your brother. We're definitely not brothers in real life, you know, in real by blood, but we're brothers in music for sure.
Absolutely. And you dress alike too, at least on stage.
Bye.
part of the group that was developing the band. Philly described it as, he may have just said, like, okay, the drummer and the bass and the guitarist, they were developing the band before he even joined. I think that's kind of what he said. So talk to me then about the beginning of Yachtly Crew. I mean, even the most, if you would, inane kind of conversation around the kitchen table kind of thing.
Sure. Well, you know, I'll give you just my perspective from how everything happened. Our drummer and our bass player have been friends for 30-plus years and playing in bands together and stuff like that. So they have been going on for a while. But from my perspective, I was doing the singer-songwriter thing, and I was, you know, to be completely forthright, I was like, I want to make some extra money on the weekend, and I don't want to work at McDonald's or Starbucks or anything like that. I still want to play music. So I was like, well, I'm going to join a band that I can make a few bucks with. So I went on Craigslist, and I typed in Yacht Rock. Being like, you know what? I wonder if there's anybody, like, I'd like to be in, like, a band that does yacht rock. You know, I don't want to do one of these 80s bands. I don't want to do, it's all the same thing. Like, I want to do something fun, like yacht rock. And so I literally typed yacht rock in, and the first thing that comes up on Craigslist is this ad for these guys saying, hey, we're starting a yacht rock band. So I answer the email and say, hey, it said they were looking for a guitarist and a vocalist. So I answer the email, and I'm like, I play guitar and I sing. And originally they were like, do you want to be the lead singer? And I was like, no, I have a baritone voice, as you can hear. Mm-hmm. So while I'm a very good singer, my voice is not a yacht rock vibe, or at least for all of the songs.
Sure.
I'm more in the vein of the singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll play guitar, though. Then they go, okay, cool. Here's the rehearsal date, and here's where it's going to be. And it was at a rehearsal studio that was in walking distance from my house.
Oh, cool.
So then I showed up for the audition, and the other guitar players that they had gotten in touch with both didn't show up. Mm. So it was literally just me. I'm saying all this to say it felt like the universe was like, hey, Tommy, this is where you're supposed to be right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Here's this rehearsal down the street from your house. The other guys didn't show up. I played three songs with them. I think it was like Rosanna, Baby Come Back, and Right Down the Line were the first three.
Wow.
And they offered me the gig on the spot. And so I'm like, great, all right, let's do it. You know, it seemed like cool guys. And then it was like, okay, well, now we have to find a singer. I think we probably were for like 3 or 4 months going through. We had one guy singing for a while, and then he just couldn't hit the notes. And he was like, hey, can we drop the key of the songs and all this stuff like that? And we're like, nah, we're not doing that. And then we had another guy that was, he was a really good singer, but he just didn't fit in with us personality-wise. So I went home, and my sister was at my house, and I was talking with her. She's like, how's it going? And I was like, well, we're struggling to find a singer. I don't know if this band's going to happen. You know, I don't know what's going on. My sister is an actor, and she's lived in Los Angeles for a few years longer than me. I'm like, don't we know anybody that can sing these songs that'd be a cool person? And that day, she had been driving and saw Phil running, you know, running on the streets and working out. And she waved and had stopped to talk to him. She's like, I just saw Phil Daniel today. And she knew him from going to karaoke at this place called Sardo's in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. I know the place.
Yeah. Sorry if this is a really long-winded story.
No.
Giving you the full thing. So she said, you know, hey, I just saw Phil Daniel. He has a great voice. You should talk to him. So I said, well, let's get in. I don't have his number. So she sent him a Facebook message and said, hey, my brother's starting a yacht rock band. Are you interested? And he was like, absolutely. I went to the other guys, and I was like, I've got the guy. I hadn't really met him at that point, so I was like, he seems like a nice guy, but as long as he's, like, personality cool, like, I think he's got a... I saw videos of Phil singing, and so we brought him in, and immediately we're like, yep, that's the guy. And so since then, that's when we had the band formed, and, you know, we played our first show. It took us a while to book a show, because nobody knew what Yacht Rock was at the time. What? Yacht Rock? I mean, we didn't know if we were going to get booed off the stage, too. That was the other thing, you know? But since the first show, man, it's just been like, we turned around for the opening of our first song, and people were like, what is happening right now? They were kind of just like, had this look on their face, like, what am I looking at? Because they had never seen a bunch of guys dressed like captains on stage. And then by the end of the second song, they were like screaming the words back to us, and we just had like an epic night. And I remember after the first show being like, okay, this isn't just going to be like a normal play on the weekend thing. This is going to end up being something. I just had a feeling, you know what I mean? And here I am talking to you 8 years later from the back of our tour bus in Where am I? Baltimore. I don't even know where I am.
Oh, my gosh. Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's almost back home for you.
Yeah. I will be in Connecticut on Saturday, actually. But then my cousin's getting married on Sunday in Rhode Island, so it worked out perfectly. So I'm going to go to the wedding and then meet back up with the band.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Something that I heard about, talking about how the band dresses, and that's an incredible part of this because, okay, a person looks at you guys or looks at the cover for Seize the Day, for example, mm-hmm. and or any of the photos from you guys, really, you think right. it's going to be maybe cheese or parody, but right. all of you guys are serious musicians, and so there's the look, that's one thing. But then the music, it's tight, and sometimes it is note for note what we hope for when we're going out to see, you know, covers. It takes it up a notch. There's almost, you know, just really something to embrace. As you said, you didn't want to do just yeah. this cover band, but right. now you are doing a cover band, but it's really amped up more than that.
Yeah, I mean, we honestly don't even think of ourselves as a cover band or no. a tribute band. And we make decisions business-wise very intently to try to stay away from being labeled tribute or cover. The reality is we're doing other people's music, so yep. we're covering it. But like, do you say Michael Bublé is a cover artist? You
know, right.
No, he's a musician that sings beautifully. And so we try to think of ourselves in that level where we're like, okay, we're doing other people's stuff, but we're trying to stay faithful to it while also doing our own version of it. And I think we've succeeded pretty well at that. We have a lot of our fans being like, you know, I heard the original and it's so good, but like, I just find myself wishing I was listening to your version of it. It's really awesome to hear that, and I think that's what we tried to capture with our EP and now our full length, is doing the songs justice and staying true to them while also like trying to amp it up a little bit, energy-wise.
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, and by the way, on Long Answers, I designed this program that you're about to end up on around stories, you know, as opposed to somebody telling right. a great story and then on the radio side putting together a feature that uses maybe 3.5 minutes of your conversation, so I would much rather have the stories, and that's great. All it means is that you'll be on 2 weeks in a row instead of just one, so.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Come on.
So knowing that audience members often will dress like the band does, the captain's hats and whatnot, beyond that, yep. I've heard tell of people showing up as the Skipper and Gilligan or whatnot. What are some of the other quite memorable sea-related outfits or costumes?
Oh, man, we've got this group of pirates that always shows up.
Oh, cool.
In Las Vegas, they're like professional cosplay. They look like they're straight out of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. That's how legit it looks. So those guys are awesome. The other night, we had a guy dressed up as a boat, literally like an inflatable boat, and he was like walking around. Like, where do the people come up with this stuff? We've had a lobster before, a mermaid. Yeah, obviously, I think you said the whole Gilligan's Island team. Like, we've had a whole group of that.
Oh, wow.
Of Gilligan's Island. Yeah, it's incredible, man. It's really fun to just... I liken it to Jimmy Buffett and what his fans were like. You know, it's not just about the two-hour concert. It's the whole day is dedicated to this event. And people, if we're at a venue that has a big parking lot, people are out in the parking lot partying, just
Excellent.
Like the Parrotheads do.
Oh, beautiful.
And if we're in a downtown area, they're at the bar across the street, and you see all the captain's hats at the bar across the street. You know, I love it. It's really cool to be part of something that's like a happening, you know?
Yeah, and it's become, I mean, many years ago by now, it's become a thing. It's not just, as we said, some cover band. You are truly, you're doing your own thing with it, and people yeah. are embracing it and being a part of that world. Let's just say the Motley Crue world.
Right, yeah, totally.
Don't we steal? I'm David Fleming in conversation with Thomas Gardner, a.k.a. Tommy Bowie, with Yachtly Crew. The Titans of Yacht Rock have just released a full-length album, Seize the Night. We're going to be talking about the new album, a full-length album just out called Seize the Night. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about just a couple of things on Seize the Day. And I have to point out, people are going to want to find this. It's called Seize as in multiple oceans, okay? It's S-E-A-S, Seize the Day. Now, from that EP, it was six songs, with one of them being an original. That was Sex on the Beach, mixed in with, let's see here, Lido Shuffle, How Long, Steal Away, How Deep Is Your Love, and Ride Like the Wind. Philip told me that it was you that brought in the idea of Sex on the Beach, and maybe even with some of the chord progressions or some of the framework. So with Philip, I heard about the development of this song in third person. Now it's an opportunity for me to hear about it in first person, just going back to that, even that germ of an idea.
Yeah, so I actually remember sitting in my bed and being like, okay, I want to write an original for Yachtly. And, you know, I'm kind of the songwriter of the group. Everybody else is capable and everybody else has contributed. Mm-hmm. But, like, I take pride in being like, I write songs before Yachtly and I'm going to write songs after Yachtly, you know, that kind of thing.
Excellent.
But I was sitting on the bed and being like, okay, I'm going to write a yacht rock song, but what do people really respond to? And I was thinking about the Pina Colada song. And I was like, well, there's just something about the way Pina Colada rolls off the tongue and how it's like a memorable drink that you see everywhere. And I was like, well, what if we had a song where we're just calling out all different types of drinks? So in that way, it was inspired by Pina Colada. That was the very beginning of the idea. And I remember sitting in my bed and just singing all these different drink terms. And I had a few of them, but, you know, it's hard to rhyme when you're trying to rhyme different drinks and put them together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So, and I basically had that chorus with the chords. And then I remember being like, but, like, what's the punchline at the end of the chorus? What, like, what's the drink that she orders? And then I'm like, oh, of course, it's got to be Sex on the Beach because we're going to do, like, an innuendo thing. So I brought it to Phil. And I said, hey, man, I got this idea where we, like, name all the drinks and stuff like that. And it was inspired by Pina Colada. So, like, what if we wrote a story around this thing, you know, where the story is about he runs into a girl at the bar and he's trying to woo her. And he says, you know, I'll buy you whatever drink you want. You can have this. You can have that. You can have this. And then she says, oh, I'll have sex on the beach. You know, like that kind of thing with a wink. So, listen, I wasn't trying to, you know, invoke Bob Dylan on this. It's just, you know, it's a party song. It's more of a Margaritaville vibe, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Which the world needs that, too. The world needs the party songs as well. You know, and that fits the yacht rock party vibe. You could have a dark and stormy, a daiquiri, a margarita or a martini, a French connection, a fine cognac, a whiskey sour or a Sazerac. She looked at me, said I know. We recorded it. Well, first of all, I'll say Phil helped me finish. It was really when I brought it to Philly that we were like, bouncing, like, how are we going to get through the verse? And Philly was like, okay, here's the idea for the story. So he was really like great at bouncing lyric ideas off of. And he helped me finish rhyming all the different names. I remember we were like, okay, we need some other drink names. Okay, how about a Blue Hawaii? You know, like that kind of like stuff like that. I would never order at a bar unless I was in Hawaii, you know. But you're trying to think of preferably tropical drinks.
Yeah.
Maybe not White Russian or something like that, but like something you drink if you're on the beach, that kind of thing.
Nice.
So I have a lot of fun memories of like sitting on Phil's couch and like bouncing ideas off of him and us coming up like, oh yeah, cool. And so then we recorded the demo and sent it to the other guys and they liked it. And our manager, we sent our manager probably five or six different songs. And that was the one that he was like, I really like this one. I think this one's going to catch on with Yacht Rock fans. We've been promoting our new single, so we haven't had Sex on the Beach in the playlist, but we're getting a lot of people being like, hey, you didn't play Sex on the Beach. Like, it's cool to hear people be like, I want to hear that one. We love that one, you know? So I love that. And then I would also just want to mention how I love how he did like a George Benson-y type solo. Again, trying to think of like inspired by Yacht Rock type vibes. And as a guitar player, he's just maybe the greatest of all time, just certainly one of them. And so if you hear the guitar solo on that song and think George Benson, I think you might be like, oh yeah, I can hear the influence there for sure.
Well, I'd read that somewhere that somebody had attributed that George Benson-inspired solo, and so I listened for it. And yes, yeah. I hear it, and I wasn't sure. Okay, is that because it was suggested already? But no, it's truly there. And of course, we have Turn Your Love Around later on, but... The other thing, I just, whenever I was talking about this, when I was airing it last year, I kept on referring to it, making sure that people knew that I was talking about the drink, not the all-too-sandy activity. The only other thing on Seize the Day was on Ride Like the Wind, you actually had Lenny Castro on percussion. This may mean nothing to a lot of people, but you actually had Lenny
He's
Castro.
He's the original percussion player on the original Ride
on the
Like
original.
The Wind. And many other Yacht Rock songs as well. So that happened because we are working with Chris Lord-Alge, our producer / mixer. And he's just an industry vet and legend that knows everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be talking, oh, yeah, oh, this, oh, yeah, oh, him? Oh, cool. Oh, well, dude, I love this song. You know what song I love? This Rolling Stone song. Oh, yeah, Mick was here last week, and he was singing it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, that's the kind of world that when you're rolling with CLA that you're in, you're like, what? You know, it's crazy. And then you see everybody's pictures on the wall and all that. So anyway, we're like, hey, Rob, you know, our drummer, you want to do the percussion on this or whatever? And then CLA's like, well, I know the guy that did the original if we want to call him. So we're like, well, what the heck? Well, yeah, we should call him if we can. So shout out to Lenny Castro for doing that. So,
oh,
and
absolutely.
He did it on a few of our different songs, too. I think he's on a few of the songs, but he originally was on Ride Like the Wind. So that was really cool to have him on our version, too.
Absolutely cool.
Low
All right, transitioning over to the new one. When Seize the Day was released, I asked Phil about why an EP as opposed to a full-length album. I was told it was basically, it was part of it was timing, and then there was a lot of joking around about people's attention span. But while we were talking, I was told that there was a lot of material recorded, and the EP is what made it to it. So are some of the songs on Seize the Night what was recorded before and part of that arsenal that just became a selection?
I want to say two of them are. Definitely Lowdown we had recorded for Seize the Day, and we just weren't happy with the way it came out, and I think maybe we wanted to make the tempo a little different. It was something with the percussion that we were like, you know what, it should be this. So let's hold off on putting it on Seize the Day. And so we went for Seize the Night. We kind of came back around to it. Okay, we're going to change this, change that. And we kind of fixed it to make it sound the way we wanted to. And you know what it was? I think it was that we discovered that the hi-hat on the original recording was recorded separately from the drums. So we were like, oh, well, then that's how they got that sound. So we should do that, too. You know, the amazing Jeff Porcaro.
Yeah, the Jeff Porcaro thing. That's exactly what it was.
So we learned that he did the hi-hat on a separate track. So he wasn't, like, playing the hi-hat at the same time. So, like, well, that's how he did. So let's us do it that way to give it that same groove. So we ended up going back and doing that. And I think it totally helps with the track. And, you know, if you listen to our version of Lowdown, it's got the same groove as the original. Which, like I said, we always want to stay faithful to the original, especially the stuff that works really well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of do it in our own way.
For this edition of KVCR, it's been music from Yachtly Crew in conversation with guitarist and original member Tommy Bowie. We just barely touched on the new album, Seize the Night, but we'll get much more on the next KVCR. Tommy Bowie is also known in some circles as Thomas Gardner, with hopefully a closer look after he's done with this current and rather active Yachtly Crew tour, which does include a couple of stops in this region. More at yachtlycrew.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Thomas Gardner, a.k.a. Tommy Bowie, and thanks to Alan Rommelfinger for setting this one up. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Adam Rainey Ruiz, Paige Chivers, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please give any time, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support. And again, thank you so much.